Hello, and welcome to The Psychonaut Show with Dr. JKB. This is John K. Burton, MD, psychiatrist, psychoanalyst. And on this podcast, your captain on these voyages to explore strange new worlds in inner space. Our mission is to uncover knowledge that will ultimately make us more effective, more connected, and more attractive in our daily lives. In this episode, we are going to be exploring the six testaments of the psychonaut. Now, a few episodes ago, I introduced the concept of these testaments back in the episode on neutrality that we use as guides to help us as we explore. And as I said, I'll get into each one in a separate episode, but I wanted to put them all out together in this episode so we can see how they help us as we go forward into our inner worlds. In the time that I have been working, which is almost 20 years now, I've really had to think about the principles that I was taught, the way that I was trained, and in my practice thinking, what do I really think are the fundamental principles that allow me and my patients to go forward effectively and understand their experiences? And I do feel that some basic touchstones, tools are important. You know, every effort to understand the world is built off of some basic ideas that particular area takes as given. They take for granted. For example, in geometry, they have the five fundamental theorems. And in physics, there's the three laws of thermodynamics. I think people probably remember from middle school science. And going from science to religion, in the Abrahamic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, although they are very different in some ways, obviously, but they all have the Ten Commandments, for example, as shared basic ideas. And then going from West to East, the Eastern traditions of Hinduism and Buddhism, there are the yamas and the niyamas, things that you should do and things that you shouldn't do. These are basic principles that are taken as givens. And they're important because, to use like the metaphor of a house, they're like the stone foundation, these ideas. And in our exploration on the Psychonaut Show, our house is the exploration of our inner worlds. And we build the house on that foundation. Now, we can do lots of things in the house, like you can even tear the house down and build it up again, but the foundation always stays the same. Our Declaration of Independence is another set of basic principles that says we hold these truths to be self-evident. And that's what I'm kind of looking for. What are the things that I think are basic, self-evident principles that we need in our exploration? I want to be very clear again that what is the foundation of one house, one area of the effort to understand the world, is not the same as the foundation in another area. Our basic principles, our six testaments of the psychonaut, are for our exploration of inner worlds. Just like geometry theorems don't have anything to do with Hinduism, so the testaments of the psychonaut are about inner exploration. Now, we might find discoveries in that house that are applicable to other areas, but the basic principles are not necessarily the same. So I'm going to go through all six of the testaments, and let me say that each of these is going to be the topic of its own episode on the Psychonaut Show, because they're pretty important, and it's important that we give them their due. But I wanted to use this episode to put them all out at once so we could have them in mind as we focus in on each one going forward. So the six testaments of the psychonaut are divided into the testaments of action, the testaments of faith, and the testaments of growth. The testaments of action are about how we strive to act as we explore our inner worlds, our own inner worlds, and those of each other. The first testament of the psychonaut is the most important testament. It is the testament of neutrality. And it says, we suspend all personal bias and we adhere to no value, moral or otherwise, other than that of non-judgment. This is in order to achieve our goal of insight and understanding of the psyche. That's the testament of neutrality. Testament number one. Testament number two is the testament of active curiosity. And it says, we will be curious about any action, pattern, or phenomenon that we are confronted with, no matter whether it be painful, pleasurable, or seemingly obvious. We will still be curious about it. That's testament number two. And the testament of neutrality and the testament of active curiosity are the testaments of action about how we go about exploring. Then we come to the testaments of faith. The testaments of faith are the basic worldview, the view of the inner world that we use to guide us in our exploration. These are very much what we take as self-evident. They are probably the most arguable of them, but as I said, in my work, I have thought about this and come to feel that these need to be considered as foundational. Testament number three is the testament of birthright. The testament of birthright says our fundamental nature is to be good. We are born with the desire to become our true selves and to contribute value to the world we share with others. Our birthright is goodness. A lot there. Again, it's going to be the topic of at least one other episode. That's testament number three. Testament number four is the testament of reason. To me, the testament of reason is the one that we're always kind of shooting towards. And it says, everything has a reason. Every action has an intention, and each intention is to solve a problem, no matter how irrational, contradictory, or even destructive that action may be in reality, and I should say in external reality. In the inner world of the psyche, that action made sense on some level. This is super important, and again, it will be the topic of its own episode. Now we come to the testaments of growth, and these are the particular ways in which we understand development. It's a particular area of psychonautic exploration. That's about development, which we mostly think about having to do with children and growing up. But because we've all been children at one point or another, we all have a history of childhood, as I say, it is universal. And whether we are actually parents or not, it's important to have these in mind. And that's why they become part of the foundation of our exploration. So testament number five is the testament of evolvement. Let me just say, evolvement comes from, I took that from Pokemon. Even though actually I looked it up and evolvement is an actual word. We usually think, yeah, it shouldn't be evolution. No, evolvement is a word. And it actually means moving from simpler forms to more complex forms. And that's actually what the testament of evolvement is emphasizing. It says this, development always moves forward from simpler forms to more complex forms, and we can never truly predict the outcome of growth, only that it is never backwards. Again, a lot there, especially with, so it's really contradictory to the idea that we can look at a person at one point in their life, particularly when they're young, and say, oh, they're going to turn out this way. We know a lot about what's going to affect their evolvement, their development, but we cannot predict. Finally, we come to testament number 6, which is the testament of following. This says, we learn the path of optimal growth by following the child's lead, allowing the youngest voice to speak, even if we think we know better, we being more mature, complicated adult people, or we are not sure what that youngest voice is saying, we still listen to it and we follow it. And again, this is very much a basic principle of the exploration of inner worlds. Obviously doesn't apply in other situations outside of inner exploration, but it is vital that we follow the youngest voice and listen to it. The testament of following, testament number 6. So those are the 6 testaments of the psychonaut. I want to tell you about a case that I had when I was just starting out in my child psychiatry training. And I was working with a 6-year-old boy, and, you know, as you do with 6-year-olds, you play. I hesitate to call it play therapy because all therapy is therapy. It's just the language that you use. And in childhood, it's play as opposed to narration, you know, being verbal, which is more what adolescents and adults do. But ultimately, it's all kind of getting at the same thing. And so in this play, my patient kept playing with a little toy baby, like the Fisher-Price. That was the toy set we were playing with, you know, those things. And he would get very evolved in wanting to cook and eat the baby. So he would pretend to put it in a frying pan and wrap it in clay and pretend to pour ketchup and mustard on it. It with great delight, cooking the baby. And then he would offer it to me and look me in the eye and say, now you have to eat the baby. And so I was presenting this to my supervisor, and this is a very senior person who actually has a reputation of being very open and very good with understanding what's going on with kids. People seek her out often. But as I'm telling her this, her face is getting sort of serious and concerned. And she said, and what did you do when he offered you the baby to eat? And I sort of shrugged my shoulders and I said, well, I pretended to eat the baby. You know, I was like going along with the play. In fact, that's testament number 6. I was following the child's lead. And she got this sort of look of horror on her face. And she said, I don't know what is going on with this patient. Maybe he is psychotic. You have to tell him, you have to go back to the next session and tell him that we do not eat babies. You know, she said, maybe you can pretend to be a monster or like do it like that, like a fairy tale, but you cannot eat the baby. So I, at the next session, I went back, the same kind of play ensued because this was a very, very important theme to him. I didn't understand it, but testament number 4, there's always a reason. There was some reason he was getting this out. So when we got to the thing that we get to, which when he had finished playing and said, here's the baby, now you have to eat it, I said, you know, I kind of got this look on my face of kind of authoritative concern, like I'm being like a schoolmarm, basically, saying, you know, we don't eat babies. Maybe I can pretend to be a monster or something like that, but we don't eat babies. And this boy, I will never forget this. He looked me in the face with this sort of quizzical, disdainful look on his face and said, it's not a real baby. And that was the point where I just realized my supervisor was wrong. The 6-year-old was supervising me. That's what I think I'm trying to say. So let me show like how the 6 testaments of the psychonaut apply to this situation. Testament number 1, the testament of neutrality. Obviously, that applies. My supervisor was listening to this play sequence, and she could not hear that through a neutral filter, if you will, a lens. She had her own bias. She was bothered for her own reasons, her own biases of listening to the play sequence about eating the baby, and she had to intervene. That cut off the exploration. It actually didn't cut off the exploration because the kid is the one that came forward and said, hey, this is not a real baby, this is play. Again, this is the inner world. It's okay here to be neutral. It's not reality. She was not able to be neutral. And then secondly, the testament of active curiosity, she wasn't curious about what was going on with that. You know, neutrality leads to curiosity, or curiosity is dependent on neutrality. If we can be unbiased and open, then we can be curious. Testament number three, the testament of birthright, that basically we're good, that also is very much seen here. He wasn't this, like, as she said, psychotic sort of crazy kid who was going to go around like eating babies or like hurting people. No, not at all. He was fundamentally good, and his play that was very destructive was in the service of understanding something. And in order to go forward with that exploration and understanding, we have to have that testament number three, the testament of faith, that our birthright is goodness. And then, as I mentioned, testament number four, the testament of reason. There was a reason for this, and I'll explain that in 1 second. The testament of evolvement is relevant here too, that this is a child who is in the middle of his growth. We don't know where he's going. We don't know what he's going to become. I actually do know now, because it's much later and he's an adult and I happen to know that he's doing very well. But at that time, there's this concern about which way is he going? You know, he's going in a bad direction. You know, we have to stop it. You know, development goes forward, and sometimes it goes forward in really problematic ways, and we need to like be concerned about that. But we need to trust that it is moving forward in the direction that it's supposed to go. And finally, testament number six, the testament of following. I also mentioned, like, what I really needed to do was follow his lead. When he wanted me to eat the baby, I was very confused about what to do. And maybe I could have asked more questions and been more, going back to testament number two, more curious. But when we say we do not eat babies, or we don't do this, or we don't do that, or this is a problem, or whatever, we're leading, we're not following. And the testament of following is testament number six, and is foundational for this reason. So I said that this case also showed the necessity of testament number four, the testament of reason. And in fact, it does. There was a reason for this urgency to play out this cooking and eating of the baby. And to her credit, when I went back to my supervisor and explained what had happened, she took a step back and she, in my opinion, reconnected with the testaments of the psychonaut. She connected to neutrality, she became curious, and she thought about the reason. And we thought about this boy's history. And in fact, he was adopted, and the circumstances of his adoption were confusing. He knew some things about his adoption, and he didn't know others. He was very confused about his origins, his family history. And we were able to understand, my supervisor and I were able to understand, that this play that he was doing was his attempt to understand the basics of life, pregnancy, where do babies come from, how do they get into a person? And his eating was his way of trying to figure that out. And it also was expressing his frustration with what he didn't know about this. So it did, when we were able to connect to those principles, it did lead us back to understanding that there was a reason for this play, as aggressive and disturbing as it might be. When we adhere to the testaments, then we get somewhere in our understanding of the inner world. So this episode was more of an overview than some of the other episodes that I do where we really get into one particular topic and show how it's applicable in different areas of life. But it's kind of a reminder that these are the principles that we use, and these are foundational. We need each one of them in order to go forward in the exploration of our inner worlds. And the case that I chose was specifically about the inner world. That's why we can be neutral. That's why we can follow the child's lead. When we use these six testaments to guide our exploration, we discover all kinds of things that we wouldn't be able to if we were biased, if we didn't follow the child's lead, if we didn't believe in our basic goodness. But again, they are the foundations of the Psychonaut show, and the topic of the Psychonaut show is the exploration of inner worlds. They aren't necessarily the foundations of other things. The discoveries that we obtain in our inner exploration are going to be, I hope, useful in other areas of life, but these six testaments may not be the foundation of those other areas of life. For example, I'm talking about in anything from policy making to dealing with people in real life at work or whatever. You know, sometimes we actually are going to have judgments and use our values. You know, we're non-judgmental about being judgmental. You know, sometimes they're necessary and good and important. Sometimes the adult needs to lead, you know, obviously. And sometimes we need to intervene in development. But these are things that I feel are vitally important in the exploration that we are going to do on the Psychonaut Show. This is Dr. JKB signing off. Since we are exploring together, you make the journey all the richer by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And even better, if you also leave a rating, it helps others to find us. If you have a story about how the concept in this episode helped you figure out something in your life, send it in, please. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter at Psychonaut Show. Show notes are on the website, thepsychonautshow.com. And if you leave me a question, it may well be an inspiration for an upcoming episode. Until our next trip, judge nothing, question everything, and remember, there's always a reason. Bye for now. All the patient stories presented on the Psychonaut Show are created by me to illustrate an idea. Any resemblance to actual people is purely coincidental. The Psychonaut Show was created and produced by yours truly, John Burton. Art and web design by Hunter Creative. Post-production and sound design by Julio Gonzalez of Zimmer Media. Zimmer Media can be found online at zimmer.co. That's X-I-M-E-R.co.